7 tonight again, so I invite you to turn there. And as you are turning there, we will sing our Sunday night choruses. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 18 this evening. We'll go from verse number 18 down to verse number 24 as we continue going through the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 18, down through verse number 24. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Sunday evening. We thank you for this open door and this place to meet. And we ask for your presence, your guidance as we look at your word. We pray you to give us clarity of thought and understanding of your word as we study it together. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great challenges of verse 17 to 24 is to see what in the world it has to do with anything else in the chapter. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at the chapter and read it that way, but the first 9 verses were about marriage and the single person. The next few verses, down to verse number 17, were about marriage and separation. And now all of a sudden we come to a section that just seems to be completely unrelated to anything else. And then in verse number 25, when we get back, it's going to be about marriage again. And so these verses seem like they are just arbitrarily stuck in the middle of there and have nothing to do with the context of that which is around them. But the one thing we don't have, look at verse number 1, is the letter from the church at Corinth that asks the questions that Paul is addressing. In verse number 1, he said, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me," and we've talked about this already before. We don't have this letter. We don't know what it is that the church at Corinth asked the Apostle Paul about. So Paul is asking questions that he doesn't know, that we don't know what the questions answer. There's some things I listen to on YouTube. There are classroom teachings and even on 1 Corinthians. And the teacher is teaching and I'm following along and listening as he's teaching. But for 15 minutes there will be questions coming from the students in the classroom and you can't hear their questions. All you can hear is the answers that he's given. You're thinking, what are they asking? Where are they going from here? Well, that's what we see with Paul in 1 Corinthians 7. We don't know what they asked him. We just know what his answers were. And apparently, verse 17 to 24 was in connection to what he was answering them about and talking to them about. Paul was answering the questions that were asked, and he answered them kind of like this in the first few verses. If a person was single or unmarried, when they got saved, they could remain single. The church at Corinth, where the gospel had just come and introduced itself, and now many of these unconverted, heathen, wicked Corinthians had now gotten saved and they were single people, and they said, can we serve God? Do we have to be married? And Paul said, no, you don't have to be married. You can be single and you can serve God. So he's telling them that in the condition they're in, they don't have to wonder about it. They can serve God as a single person. Then there was the problem of separation again, beginning down in verse number 10. And I'm married and I'm converted, but my husband isn't. Or I've been saved, but my wife hasn't. And I want to serve God. Should I put him or her away so that I can serve God? And Paul says, no. If they're content to live with you and you can serve God, then stay married. So Paul is answering, saying the condition, the place that you're in, the calling that you're in, stay faithful to God and serve God in that calling. Well, that fits verse 17 to verse 24. Because here he introduces two different subjects. One is circumcision. One is being a servant. And along the line of the other things, he's saying, art thou called being circumcised? Seek not to be uncircumcised. Art thou called being a servant? Seek not to be a servant. In other words, when you get saved, don't change your social standing. Don't change your marital relationships. Don't change your race or your rank, or attempt to or question it when it comes to trusting Christ. We all know that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. A whole lot of things change when you become saved. But marriage doesn't change. If you weren't married when you got saved, you're not automatically married. If you were married when you got saved, you don't become unmarried when you got saved. If you were circumcised when you got saved, you don't become uncircumcised. And if you were a servant when you got saved, you don't become a master. So Paul is continuing in this same thought and writing to the church at Corinth saying, abide in your calling. Notice he says in verse number 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. That's what he's talking about. Verse number 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now these things might not affect us. Circumcision, servanthood. Those aren't things when we got saved we wondered whether they should change or not. But Paul is writing to a different church in a different time, in a different culture, with different things, and the applications are the same today. We don't change our social standing. We don't change our social place, our marriage, things like that, because of salvation. Yes, there are changes in behavior. There's changes in attitude, changes in heart, but not changes in necessarily social things like what Paul is addressing here. So let's look what Paul is talking about in saying that salvation does not change your social standing. Keep your place there, if you would, and look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A very familiar verse, and I know we've quoted it as we've been looking at 1 Corinthians. Verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul was a single missionary. He said to other people, I would you remained even as I am. Paul suffered need. Paul suffered shipwreck. Paul suffered the lack of many things. But he said, in these things, I'm content. Paul wasn't worried about his social standing. He was worried about his spiritual relationship with the Lord. He wasn't trying to change things that he could not change, like his race, being circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Gentile. He wasn't trying to change his rank as far as his popularity in the world, being a servant or a master or one of the other things. He said, in these things, I'm just content to be what I am and who I am, where I am, and to serve God in that capacity. And that's what Paul is emphasizing in 1 Corinthians 7. Serving God in the capacity, or abiding in your calling. However God has called you, to serve him to the best of your ability in that condition and in that calling. when we understand the verses that are before us and the subjects that's there, we understand what Paul is trying to tell us. The things that are outside of our need to change, we don't need to change. And Paul addresses two of them, and they're very clear, they're very concise, here in verse number 18 to verse number 24. We'll say it this way: the first problem that Paul dealt with in verse 18 to 20 was a spiritual issue. A spiritual issue. It was about circumcision and uncircumcision. Now, we that are adults in here know what that means, and those that aren't, I'm not going to be the one that tells them right now. But we know what that is. But it was a commandment for the Jews. And the Jews were a special breed of God, of people, because of this circumcision that was given to Abraham and given to Moses and given to the others. It was a special mark of God's favor on the Jewish race. And so some in Corinth that were converted were Jews. Some in Corinth that were converted were Gentiles. And now the question is, well, do we need to change that? Do we need to all become Jews? Do we need to all become Gentiles? No, Paul says, abide in the calling wherewith ye were called. He says in verse number 18, is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Those commandments were given specifically to the Jewish people. And he said, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. A Jew does not have to be a Gentile. A Gentile does not have to be a Jew. You know, this is a dispute that was very big in that day. It's not one that we argue about in our day, what we contend with in our day, but it was something that was very big back then, because the gospel started in among the Jews. It started in Bethlehem and Nazareth. It went to Jerusalem and Judea and then to Samaria before it went to the uttermost parts of the earth. So the gospel started with the circumcision. In fact, Paul wrote in Romans, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this was a very big deal to them back then. And when Paul went to the uncircumcised, when he went to the Gentiles and made his missionary journeys and saw Gentiles coming to faith in Jesus Christ, when he went back to Jerusalem and gave an account to the church, to James and the church there at Jerusalem, they were very skeptical of whether or not the Gentiles could be saved and be born again, because they weren't becoming Jews. Look back in your Bible at the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, as Paul is giving testimony of the conversion of the Gentiles, it says in verse number 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. See, there were those in Paul's day that thought, yes, circumcision was everything. It was important. And these Gentiles to whom Paul was preaching not only had to have faith in Christ, but they also had to submit themselves to circumcision. It's almost as they were adding to the gospel of it in what they were doing. In verse number 2, it said that there was no small dissension and disputation with them. That's why they took this issue up to Jerusalem, and the Pharisees stood up and said that they needed to be circumcised. They needed to become, as it were, Jews and follow the law of Moses. And Paul is making it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you don't have to do that. You don't have to change your race. You can't change your race. You don't have to change your spirituality in that regard. Again, it's a spiritual issue that they're talking about. Art thou called being a Jew? The word called is in our context in 1 Corinthians 7, seven times. Seven times, art thou called being a Jew? All right? He says, remain a Jew. Don't worry about your nationality. Don't worry about your origin. Don't worry about those things. Serve God in your current condition. When missionaries take the gospel around the world, we don't have to change them. They don't have to abide by any certain cultural standards or national standards. We're not out there making them Americans or making them Europeans or making them any other race. They abide in their calling, but they stay faithful to God. They don't change what they cannot change. They just stay faithful. Notice the example of this. Look at Acts chapter 16, if you would. The Bible is such a wonderful book because, and I don't know if this is the right words, it explains itself. I'm not sure that's what I need to, the right words to define it. But about this thing about circumcision, who should be? Who doesn't need to be? Well, it's of the Jews. It was a commandment to them, and they had to be. It was not a commandment to the Gentiles. There's a story back in Genesis chapter 22 that I always find kind of humorous, and I'll not go to it right now, about Dinah and going out and a different race of people that circumcised themselves to mingle with the Jews, and it turned out to be a disaster for them. And so Paul says in Acts chapter 16, notice what it says here, Acts 16 and verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. All right, Timothy, we would say, was a half-breed. He was Jew-Gentile. Which was well reported of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in that quarter, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. The Jews were not going to accept the testimony of Timothy as he traveled with Paul, because though his father was a Greek, but his mother was a Jew, and he'd not been circumcised because dad apparently had stood in opposition to it, but he was a half-Jew by birth. And to minister with Paul and to go where Paul was going to go and to minister in the synagogue, he needed to have that rite done because of his race. So Paul, in dealing with one of his trainees, as it were, one that was Jewish, said, you need to be circumcised, not to complete his salvation, not for any other reason, but to minister to his own people. So Timothy, one of Paul's trainees, one of his successors that was a Jew, was circumcised. In contrast to that, look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians, the book of Galatians in chapter 2. Verse number 1, Paul's testimony. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now he's talking about what we just read about in Acts chapter 15. He said, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Notice verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Paul had many trainees, many associates, and two of the young men, and we read the epistle, two epistles to Timothy and one to Titus. They were very close, like they were sons to him. And with Timothy, he had him circumcised, because he was Jewish. With Titus, he did not have him circumcised because he was Greek. They did not have to cross over. They did not have to do the other. Art thou a Jew? Art thou a Gentile? Abide in your calling. Again, those in Acts chapter 15 wanted the Gentiles to become Jews. Wanted them to pray. And apparently in Corinth, there were the questions being asked of Paul. Do we need to do this? We've heard that this has been spread around. We've heard that this news has been given. Can we serve God as Gentiles, yet being uncircumcised? And Paul said, art thou circumcised? Seek not uncircumcision. Art thou uncircumcised? Seek not circumcision. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling in which he was called. Serve God in your current situation. Then secondly, the issue in verse 21 to verse 24 is a social issue. The first one was a spiritual issue, the law given to Abraham and Moses of circumcision. But the second one is a social issue. Verse 21, art thou called being a servant? Wow. Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. In verse 20, he concluded the thing of circumcision and uncircumcision by saying, abide in your calling. Now in verse 24, he says, when it comes to this fact of servanthood, abide in your calling. Can I tell you this, if you don't already know, Paul has faced so much verbal abuse for these statements on servanthood. There are many that reject all the writings of Paul simply because he did not try to abolish servanthood. He did not speak, they say, because he did not speak against it, he must have been for it. And so because he did not speak against it and because he was for it, I'm not going to listen to anything he says. Can I tell you this? Paul had a higher calling than to deal with social issues. It's not that social issues were not important. It's not that they aren't important. But it wasn't his calling. I guess it's appropriate, and the Lord works these things out, that here we are tonight looking at this very text. The night before Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I couldn't have planned that any better. And here's simply what I'll say when we compare the two, Paul or Martin Luther King. When you hear the name Martin Luther King and you want to quote something he said, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? I have a dream. That was his great speech. That was his well-known oratory. And let me be careful to say, I'm not against what he was trying to do, trying to bring equality to the races, as it were. But when you think of the Apostle Paul and think of what was on his mind, what are you going to quote from him? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, I'm going to say this, and it could get me in hot water. I know not with you folks, but some folks. I never heard of one person that was ever led to Christ by Martin Luther King. One sermon he ever preached at his church down in Alabama that was about salvation and about entering the kingdom of God. Everything was about social reformation. And people that get involved in trying to change society throw themselves 100% into trying to change society and social reformation. And that's fine for social reformers. But that's not the job of a minister. We're not out for social reformation. We're out for spiritual regeneration. Paul did not travel to those 52 cities in three different countries on two different continents pushing any other issue but salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. That was his driving force. When the Apostle Paul gave up his life, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, what a difference in vocabulary from someone who is pushed by spiritual things opposed to those that are pushed by social issues. And again, there are social issues that need addressed, and that's fine, but that's not for the preacher of the gospel. And so when Paul doesn't address the social issues, it's not because he's taking a stand for or against it. He's just saying this: abide in your calling. You know what the problem with the American, I can really get preaching now. You know what the problem with the Americans is? When we think of servanthood or slavery, we see black and white. And that's an American thing. You know there's slavery going on in the world right now? You know there was slavery in Paul's day? Remember what happened in Acts chapter 17? Paul went to Athens. You know what they tell us about Athens? That in Athens there were 40,000 free men. And that's the word Paul uses up there in verse 22. Thou being a servant is the Lord's free man. A free man. One that's not a servant. In Athens there were 40,000 free men and 200,000 servants. The servanthood was not based on their race. It was not based on their nationality. It was not based on their skin color. It was based on them being taken captive by someone else. One country against another, one person against another, some that gave themselves willingly into it, some were sold into it. But it was an issue in Paul's day. It was an issue that wasn't divided by skin color or race, but it was everywhere, just as it is today in many countries outside of the United States of America. There are places today, the Barbary Wars, if you remember that, Brother Harding was with us years ago and gave us a video, and the Barbary Wars, when the Muslims were taking Americans as prisoners and Europeans and forcing them into slavery. All right? It's not a black and white issue as it was in the United States for a period of time, long after Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 7. And Paul is simply giving the standard here: wherever you are, serve God. Whatever position in life you're in, serve God. Don't use your circumstances as an excuse not to love the Lord your God. You can love God anywhere. Paul loved him in prison. Paul loved him floating on a board trying to make it to shore. Paul loved him everywhere. Look, if you would, over the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And again, I know when you preach about these things, some folks just take, they don't hear what you say. They hear what they want to hear you say, and they go from there. But Paul was not pro-slavery, pro-servanthood. He just simply said, if that's what you are, serve God in that position. Art thou called being a Jew? Art thou called being a servant? Serve God. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 5. Here's what Paul said. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, Paul said, art thou called being a servant? Seek not to be free. If thou mayest be made free, be made free. But don't make that the guiding drive of your heart. Drive to serve Christ. Now again, we make that application in our day. There are those that have and those that have not. And many of those that have not want to be, are envious of those that have, and hate those that have, but want to be those that have. And Paul is simply saying, wherever you're at, serve God in that capacity. Serve God in that position, that place. If you're a servant, serve God as a servant. But then he goes on, look at verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Notice what he said, forbearing, threatening. Paul was against the mistreatment of other humans. But he wasn't preaching against reformation from it. He was preaching spiritual regeneration. Can you imagine how distracted Paul would have been in Thessalonica, in Athens, in Ephesus, in all the places, all the ports, all the towns he went to, all those places, the book of Acts. Can you imagine how distracted he had been if he went in there trying to free the servants, trying to lead a social revolution? He never would have accomplished anything for the cause of Christ. And his rewards in heaven are going to be a multitude because of his spiritual focus, not his social focus. And again, that's not saying that society doesn't need some changing, but let the social reformers do that. That's not the calling of a Christian. Not with eye service, not as men pleasers. Live for the Lord. You know, the Lord said in John chapter 18 and verse 36, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. We're not out to change society. We're out to save society. And that's what Paul is doing. A man who becomes a Christian becomes a better man. So I know that guy, he's a good guy. Well, if he gets saved, he'll be a better guy. A woman that gets saved becomes a better woman. Oh, I know that woman. She's a good wife, she's a good mother. She's a good lady. Well, if she gets saved, she'll be even better. Well, a Jew that gets saved, he's still a Jew. A Gentile that gets saved, he'll be a better Gentile. A servant that gets saved, Paul says, will be a better servant, and a master who is saved will be a better master. It's not about the Reformation, it's about regeneration. It's about salvation through faith in Christ. And so Paul is addressing these things in 1 Corinthians 7. Look back there with me if you would, and we'll close. In dealing with these things in verse 18 to 24, before he gets back into the marriage thing, he's not really digressing, he's not really departing, he's answering the questions. If I'm single, can I serve God? If I'm married but my spouse doesn't want to serve God, can I still serve God? If I'm a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, can I serve God? If I'm a servant, can I serve God? And Paul simply says this, abide in your calling. Verse 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. We focus so much on changing our circumstances. And what we need to strive after is serving God. And that's what Paul is telling them in these verses in 1 Corinthians. Abide in your calling. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.